I would invite you to turn with me in your Bibles this morning. We'll be reading two passages of Scripture. We've been working through the Lord's Prayer as we continue to work through that passage of Scripture. And then we'll be also reading, so that'll be Matthew 6, 9 to 13, and then Matthew 4, 1 to 11. Before we read God's holy word, let us pray. Blessed are you, God of all creation. You spoke in the beginning, and things came to be. You spoke, and your word came to live with us, full of grace and truth. Bless this place where we would hear your voice. Bless this place where we will hear your word. As we listen, may our ears be attuned to you, and as we read your word, may you speak to each one of us, that all that we hear will lead us closer to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Matthew 6, 9 to 13, the word of the Lord. Then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then reading from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It's not written that man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, and you will not strike your foot against the stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came, and they attended to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his holy word. Amen. For those of you visiting with us here this morning, we've been working through a sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, just what that means for us. We're hoping that it will enhance our prayer life as we, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we don't pray it as a prayer of repetition, but we take that prayer and we apply it to our lives and apply it to our heart as what Christ had intended his disciples to pray. And it's this one here is a two-part series on prayer and protection. I like to think of the Lord's Prayer as signposts on a highway. You know, we pass that first signpost as we're on that road, and it reminds us that we need to praise our Father who's in heaven. Next one reminds us to pray for our priorities, his rule and reign over our life. And next, we come to the reminder for our daily provisions. And then to rest contently in his plans for us for that day. And then there comes another sign that talks about personal relationships. And so we've been invited to extend forgiveness to anyone who has done us wrong, who's hurt us. And we preached on that not long ago, and we talked about how that can be one of the most difficult things to do, is to offer forgiveness for someone who's wronged us. Next signpost we come to in this prayer for protection is in times of temptation. Of all the requests in the Lord's Prayer, on the surface, this one is most perplexing. We know God wants to guide us. God wants to provide for us. We know that. But is it ever in his nature to lead us into temptation? Do we have to ask God in our prayers not to do something that we're ever so sure that he would not do in the first place? Can a holy, righteous, pure, undefiled, blameless, unblemished, virtuous God ever lead anyone into temptation? This is one of those questions that has pondered the great minds throughout the history of the church. And the best place for us to start is investigating the meaning of Jesus' words for us this morning is in James chapter 1. There James says, "Let no one say he is tempted. I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." James chapter 1, verse 13. Does it sort of sound like a contradiction to you? On the one hand, we read that in James that God never tempts anyone to sin. But then in Matthew, on the other hand, Jesus tells us that we are to pray, "God, don't lead us into temptation." How do you put those two things together? I think we need to look at the word temptation in Matthew and James. It's periasmos. It's frequently used in the New Testament. And the meaning of that word is to be tested or a trial. When we use the word temptation in English, it always has that negative connotation for us. But in Greek, we see that this is a neutral word. Test or trial. James chapter 1 verses 2 and 12, the word means test and trial. But in 13, it's used as the word temptation. And that's kind of the word that we're used to. That's the word we normally think of. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials." James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation," meaning trials in our lives. James 1:13 says, "Let no one say he is tempted." Therefore, sometimes that same Greek word refers to a test, refers to a trial. It's kind of like a hardship that we're going through. And other times it refers to a temptation in that moral and in that spiritual realm. It's sort of, we see it as a temptation, as a word of, it's an enticement for us to do what is evil. Those two concepts, if we look at them, we can see that they're very much related. And often it's in that midst of a trial that you face serious temptation to do something wrong. You may be in a great financial need and be enduring a test of your faith, but then that temptation to secure the money that you thought you could get, perhaps maybe in a sinful way. And we shouldn't be surprised to see that that same word is used to describe both experiences. With James' word in mind, we can safely assume that Jesus is not saying in the Lord's Prayer that God would never entice any one of us into sin. You see, it's not God's nature to do that. What does this mean then? What is God asking us to pray? First, we need to remember our prayer is not to be, "God, don't tempt us." We know God doesn't tempt anyone. We need to read Matthew again and remember that our prayers should be, "Lord, do not lead me into temptation." Now, is that different from tempting us? If God would not himself entice us to sin, would he then lead us into a place where we could be enticed to sin? Since he did it to his own son, we can assume that he would do it to us. Matthew 4, chapter 4, verse 1, we read that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Follow this closely, because this is very important about the structure of the wording of this passage of Scripture. Jesus wasn't led by the devil into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit. You recall the story of Job. Job is a righteous man whom God allowed to be tested by Satan in Job chapters 1 and 2. You see, God gave Satan permission to take absolutely everything he could from Job. His children, his prosperity, his health, everything except his life. In the midst of these tests, we know that Job was sorely tempted to curse God, to blame God for his misfortunes, though he never did. And the point is that God allowed Job to be led into that situation. Because of this, we can safely conclude that God will not tempt us, but he will allow us to be tested. We wish upon becoming Christians that we would hear that God would say, "There, no more trials for us, no more tests from that moment on, that we might become a temptation for us." But those are words we do not hear. And I think more than ever, when you've given your life to Christ, you do face more of that temptation in your life. Things happen. Opportunities exist. I think more than ever, and it doesn't matter whether you're a young person, these temptations or trials come in your life, or whether you're an older person, I think more than ever, when we stumble and fall is when we have desperate needs or desperately tired. There's four reasons this morning I'd like to look at for a temptation. And what we need to discover is that there are reasons why God leads us to that place of temptation. We need to know how to respond to his leading in our lives. Though we think of temptations negatively, it's testing. Temptations can ultimately in our lives become a positive experience. But in order for that to happen, we need to approach them from God's perspective. I think we need to reveal what's in our heart. When Abraham went up onto the mountain to sacrifice his son Isaac in Genesis 22, he found himself really in a terrible predicament. He was willing to obey God, but in order to obey God, it would meant that he was going to have to kill his son. He was in a test of faith that became a genuine temptation to disobey God. Abraham revealed what was in his heart, raising the knife, preparing to kill Isaac in obedience to God in Genesis chapter 22, verse 12. That test became a temptation to reveal what was in Abraham's heart. Another way temptation reveals to what is in our heart is by showing us our willingness to do the things we hadn't imagined we'd do before. There are areas in our heart yet in need of God's sanctification, which is revealed to us through the temptations that we face. We need to look at it as it replaces significant life issues. You see, when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, that temptation was to get legitimate things in illegitimate ways. Jesus was tempted with rulership of nations, demonstration of his power, both legitimate for the Son of God. But what he was tempted to do was to short-circuit God's plan, to reach the goals in a less costly way. He was tempted to let the end justify the means. In that situation, Jesus underscored the real values and priorities of his life, what he was called to do. Primarily, to do the will of his Father. Temptation allowed those issues to be surfaced, and it allowed those issues to be reinforced. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. I think when men travel on the road for business, they face all kinds of moral temptations. What keeps a Christian man from sinning is reviewing what is truly important to him: his wife, his children, his family's future, his reputation, the Lord's reputation, his influence for Christ among others and his co-workers. A friend of mine has shared with me, he said, I don't know what happens to people when they go away on a business trip. He says he heads north to the mines and does some work there and repairs. And he says, you know, the guys that I travel with, he says, they're great guys to work with. And he says, John, once they get away from their wives and their families, and he says, they go north, he says, something happens. Temptation in their life takes over. And he said, it's never good. I think we need to review most of those important issues that with often be the water needed to douse that flame of temptation. We need to look at what's truly important in our lives. We also need to reinforce our will. The Apostle Paul told Timothy to exercise towards godliness in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I think just as our physical muscles grow stronger through exercise, it's the muscle of our will will grow stronger when we do the right things. Every time we say no to temptation, it builds a stronger track on our mind, which we can say no easier perhaps the next time. But every time we yield to the temptations in our life, it breaks down our will. You see, when we are tempted, and when we are victorious in the power of the Holy Spirit, it brings strength and builds that strength and fiber in us so that we are strong in the Lord. And as a result, there should be some things that are present less and less for the temptation for us as we grow older in the Lord. That, believe me though, regardless of how old you are, the temptations in life don't go away. But our wills to resist them exercised over the years will become stronger. We need to remind others of his grace and goodness. What's the one characteristic that most people talk about when we think of Job? We think of the patience of Job. We immediately think of his patience, his perseverance under stress. We read about Job and we're motivated by that in our times of testing. And we must remember that our lives will either be a source of positive or negative motivation to others, just as Job is that to each one of us. You see, by withstanding temptation, and it's something we face all the time, we encourage others when we face it head on, and we don't fall by that. We encourage others to trust in God's goodness and grace in our lives. Temptation is real. It's hard. It's a tough thing to overcome. So many men and women, prominent men and women, fall because they've yielded to the temptation in their lives. Temptation's not only out there in the world, but it's in the church as well. And we're to push back on that. We've talked about it last summer. We went through a sermon series on the armor of God. And I think more than ever in today's society, we need to be putting on that armor to protect ourselves. I said earlier, temptation's going to have a positive result in our life. But we will be in a bit of a dilemma. Why, if they can result in positive things, would Jesus tell us to pray that God would not lead us into them? The answer is because we know our limitations. We really do. See, when I was in school, I didn't pray for more tests as a kid. I mean, the chances of me failing was greater if I prayed for more tests. When we ask the Lord to bring trials and temptations into our lives, that prayer becomes a beautiful confession of our weakness. We know that we're liable to give sin a chance, and we'd be foolish to boast that we weren't. As Scripture says, therefore let him who thinks he stands to take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. That's why we don't pray, Lord, lead us into temptation, because we know we might fail. There are six steps to getting out of temptation. There's probably more, but these are six that I have for us this morning. I think we need to be aware of these approaching signs of temptation in our lives. And as I said earlier, doesn't matter how old you are, you can be a young person facing all kinds of temptations. You could be an older person facing it as well. Temptation is real in all of our lives. But it almost always happens slowly, subtly. It's as easy as to be deceived, and therefore here are six steps into temptation. Deceit. First step into temptation is the least obvious, because what it does, it comes to us like a wolf in sheep's clothing. You see, we don't really recognize it at first. Even if it appears wrong, we think, well, it's just us, not it. Then there's that game playing, that rationalization that begins, and we find ourselves becoming maybe a little more comfortable in the presence of this temptation. Then there's delight. Satan encourages us to have passion, to have desires for the things that we've grown comfortable with. We begin entertaining it in our mind in the form of pictures and possibilities. Next step into temptation is desire. It's natural to desire what one delights in. The next stage is full-blown desire. We want the benefit. We want the pleasure that it brings, that we believe that source of temptation can bring us. And then deliberation, we play this thing out in our minds. You see, then when we look at it, we sort of start to weigh the pros and the cons. And then we think about the consequences. But we don't like to, because we don't spend much time on that part, because we don't want to take it very seriously. And then we try to take this and we say, okay, now how can this work in my life? How can I figure this out to make this work to my benefit? Next step is defeat. We cross that line. We reach out to possess that which we've desired, and our deliberation has become our decision. Then despair. I don't think anyone who's succumbed to temptation, especially a major temptation, has not gone through a period of despair. The shame that comes that after knowingly choosing sin is overwhelming. Think of Adam and Eve. They went through all six of these stages we've just described when they were tempted in the Garden of Eden. Deceit occurred when they believed Satan's lie. And the consequences of disobeying God. They delighted in the fruit that they desired. They deliberated, not for long. And then they were defeated when they took the fruit and ate it. Their despair was obvious, because what happened was next, they hid from God after their sin. And the same can happen to any one of us. When we pray, that's why we pray. Father, lead us not into temptation. There is steps out of temptation. They're difficult, but it's something we need to be focused on. There's never any reason for us to succumb to temptation if we follow the Word of God, if we live the Word of God, if we allow the Word of God to grow in within us. 1 Corinthians 10:13 promises us that God will provide for us a way to escape. This morning, I would like to look at the four-step summary of what we must do to avoid giving in to temptations that we face in sinning. Number one, fight. Resist the devil. The Bible says in James 4:7 and in 1 Peter chapter 5, 8, and 9, resist. That is a fighting word. It means don't just allow someone to walk over you or take what's yours. Christians sometimes today cruise through life, or think they can cruise through life, on autopilot. And watch what happens. We must have a strategy. We must have a defense in place if we're going to defeat temptation. We need to follow. Christ defeated temptations, and we're admonished to follow his example in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, and we're also admonished to get as close to God as possible, focusing on him, not our temptation. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says we should be incorporating into our lives every spiritual discipline we possibly can, just as Christ did. If we're more focused on following after things of God than we are on the things of this world, then our strength to resist temptation will increase dramatically. And that's what happens so often. We're focused more on the world than God. When it comes to temptation, flee. Get out of Dodge. Whatever thing you want to use, flee. There's several places in the Bible we are told to run. 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says, "Flee from youthful lusts." But Romans 13:14 says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Genesis 39:12 tells of the story about Joseph running away from Potiphar's wife when she tempted him. Really and truly, I think for any one of us, the best piece of equipment we could have for overcoming temptation is the finest pair of running shoes money can buy. There's two things in the Bible we are told to flee from: idolatry and immorality. And we should not try to face those two temptations, because people in Scripture, in our lives, don't have a very good record of defeating them. Joseph ran off because he knew he was better off without his coat than without his character. Don't use fleeing as a last resort. When you are tempted for something in life, flee immediately. You know it's right or wrong. You can tell. And then disappear before it's too late. Feed. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan, he quoted the word of God in response to each temptation. What he said is, "It is written." It is written. The third time he said, "It is written," in Matthew 4, 1 to 11. Psalm 119, 11 says, "There's a young man, a way to keep a young man is way pure is by hiding God's word in his heart." The word of God is a source of strength, and we need when temptation comes our way. And if you are not spending time into reading the word of God in a regular, consistent basis for yourself, just reading it, just taking it in, meditating on it, making notes on it, then you are not feeding yourself, and you'll be not able to resist the temptations that will come your way. I think one of the things we've learned about last few years, especially going through this pandemic, is about an immune system. You see, in our human bodies, a system that God has given us. When it's normal, it fights off the things that would come to destroy our physical being. If our immune system is functioning at 100%, we don't have to take near the medications or anything, because our immune system will fight off the disease that's seeking to take over the body. But what happens if our immune system isn't healthy? We become susceptible to lots of things. I think if we get in the condition of an AIDS patient, the body loses its ability to fight off almost everything. That means stopping some things we enjoy doing, start doing things we haven't been doing. It's a matter of critical importance. I think this is a good illustration, because it's true spiritually. In order to increase our immunity to sin, we must strengthen ourselves through prayer, through the word, through fellowship with other Christians. You see, our prayer in the spiritual life is as Jesus taught us: "Father, lead us not into temptation." But if we do find ourselves in a test, we can find our way out in a safe and strong condition by knowing the nature of our temptation and how to overcome it. God will have us triumph over all temptation. You see, he promised us saving grace. He promised us a crown of life that awaits us. He tells us we don't have to face temptations that are unique and new, but that we are tempted only as others have been tempted. He promises that if we seek him when we are tempted, he will help us find our way out. He'll provide that way for us. There is more. Oh, there's so much more. We're assured that Jesus, the one who withstood temptation perfectly, is present with us when we face our own challenges. He's here to teach us, to lead us out of temptation. And should we fall, he will lift us up out of that miry pit through the forgiveness he won for us on the cross and through the blessed work of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, you promised that you would provide a way out of temptation so that we can endure it. Help us, O God, to escape the evil one who will tempt and defile us. Lead us not into temptation, Father. Deliver us from the evil one. The Holy Spirit indwells within us, Father, and our will is aligned with yours. And we pray that on that day of tempting, we will stand firm and know that we're not the same person we were before. Keep us from walking in the flesh and its accompanying desires. Instead, help us to walk in your Spirit. We pray this in the name of the one who is with us always. Amen.